You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of August 15th, 2013. My name is Atta Dizdar, and joining me once again is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, how was your week?
Not bad. It's been a good month of August so far, that's for sure. I spent last weekend in Maine, actually, on the coast, so that was kind of a nice change from the Midwest for me. Things are going really well here. I'm just really looking forward to football, kind of, you know, the football season's starting in most of the world except for South America and here. The soccer football season starting up, so that's definitely exciting. It's a good time of year to be talking about football. How are things with you?
I'm all right, thanks. Nothing really much happening in terms of my area, so we'll just have to get straight into the football. We'll start off actually with the draws that the Turkish teams have in UEFA competitions. We'll start off with the Champions League playoff round. Fenerbahce getting Arsenal. And those games will be played on August 21st and August 27th. So the tie will be completed before Fenerbahce's CAS ruling, whether they will be barred or not. Beşiktaş is also in that. We'll talk about them a little bit later. But I've been hearing Arsenal haven't been signing anybody. You know, the people have been concerned. You were telling me you had some friends that are Gunners fans. And I know some Arsenal fans over Twitter as well. And it seems to me like, you know, Arsenal really hasn't signed anybody. And while Fenerbahce, you know, it could be better for them, and I remember when the draw was made, though, people in Turkey were saying, oh, well, this is the toughest test Fenerbahce could get. But yet in England, it was the other way around. This was the toughest test Arsenal could get. So it's like two conflicting viewpoints there. However, Arsenal is a very tough team. But, you know, like I said a little bit earlier, they haven't been really making a splash in the transfer market. And, well, if Fenerbahce should beat Arsenal, well, depending on their CAS case, Arsene Wenger might be out of a job sooner than we think. But in terms of the Fenerbahce point of view here, it will be a tough task for them. But, you know, Arsenal, I know that Mikel Arteta got injured. He's going to be out for 6 weeks. That just came out today, actually, as we were recording this. So maybe Arsenal is a little bit weakened in terms of not really signing any players, but the quality is certainly there.
Yeah, and I think the viewpoint that Fenerbahce got the toughest team and that Arsenal got their toughest team, you know, both of those could technically be true. The thing that sort of gives me a good feeling about Arsenal, though, especially as a fan of Galatasaray, is, of course, we had that friendly. By we, I mean Galatasaray and Arsenal less than 2 weeks ago. And Galatasaray were the victors 2-1 at the Emirates. So granted, it was just a friendly, and granted, I thought Galatasaray's first goal, which was a penalty given to Drogba, was kind of a weak penalty call. I mean, Drogba definitely had no trouble going to the ground in that particular case. I, you know, see the highlights and decide for yourself. But so I felt like Galatasaray were a little bit lucky in that one. But Drogba's second goal was an absolute nightmare for Arsenal, and it was a late goal too. I think it was like 87th minute or something. But Galatasaray beating Arsenal there. So maybe in the minds of Fenerbahce fans and players, will they be thinking, hey, Galatasaray could handle them, so we can too? Of course, it's a different stage and a different team in Fenerbahce. But like you say, with Arteta out, their midfielder there, you know, they're going to have to make some adjustments. And they don't have, like you said, they don't really have anything real exciting coming in off the bench in terms of new transfers and stuff. They've been sort of the oddballs of the English Premier League so far this transfer season, as all the other big clubs seem to have been making these big moves, and Arsenal hasn't. So maybe that's a sign of confidence, but you know what would really shake their confidence would be if Fenerbahce had a strong first leg against them on the 21st, which is just next week. So I'm hoping the best for them. But of course, if Fenerbahce does overtake them and then they have that CAS ruling after, last week I was sort of wondering what would happen if Fenerbahce does get past their opponent only to be booted following the CAS hearings. And it seems like maybe what would happen would be the same thing that just happened this week to Metalist Kharkiv, where they had gotten past their opponents, but then were booted, and their former opponents, sort of the ones that they had beaten, got to go in their place. So it could be the case that even if Arsenal don't get past Fenerbahce, that they still might be the ones to go off onto the knockout round.
Right, and the opponents you were referring to was PAOK in Greece. So
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and I did hear about the Metalist Kharkiv case, but they're probably going to appeal to CAS, and their ruling might come when the group stages are going on.
And it's possible they might be allowed back into the competition. It's a whole mess. But, I mean, Metalist's situation was also a match-fixing scandal, so sort of a similar situation there, but I guess they just didn't get it resolved in time to make the necessary appeals in order to remain in the competition until the CAS hearings.
Right, but let's also remember Fenerbahce have qualified for group stage football regardless of whether they win or lose. I mean, if they win, they go to the Champions League proper. Otherwise, they go to the Europa League group stages. But we'll see what happens later this month. Speaking of the Europa League, let's talk about the playoff round matchups there. They'll be played on August 23rd and the 30th. Besiktas takes on Tromsø of Norway, and Trabzonspor faces FK Kukësi of Albania. Not really much known about the Albanian team, I have to admit. Maybe Trabzonspor will have an easier time of it there. But there is some familiarity with Tromsø of Norway. Back in the 05-06 season during the UEFA Cup, Tromsø eliminated Galatasaray. So it's a familiar opponent to Turkish audiences. But will Besiktas have the same sort of competitive rust, I'm wondering? Will they have the same sort of competitive rust we saw with Fenerbahce and Bursaspor? Now, granted, Besiktas will have a competitive game because the Super League is starting up this weekend. The new season does get started, and we'll tell you the schedule for the first weekend of games later on in the podcast. But, you know, Besiktas, I mean, it could go either way. I mean, these things are pretty much unpredictable. I mean, we were predicting Bursaspor would handle Vojvodina, and, well, look how that turned out. And it would have some implications in terms of Bursaspor's coaching situation, but we'll get into that later. But I guess let's talk about this in brief. What do you think of the matchups here?
Actually, the first thing that came to mind was what two interesting and incredibly sort of gorgeous cities in Tromsø and in Kukësi, which is in the mountains of the northwest part of Albania. I mean, these absolutely, you know, just you look at the pictures of some of these places. Tromsø's above the Arctic Circle, actually, and I did meet a Norwegian from there a couple of years back in Istanbul. He was from up that way and told me a bit about it. It's just what a strange place, you know, to be that far north. I mean, they're like I say, well inside the Arctic Circle. So I think it'll be kind of a different place for Besiktas to be in that sense. And Kukësi, like I say, you know, didn't know too much about them till I looked them up, but also in a beautiful place. But you know, nature and all that aside, these are teams that shouldn't be a huge problem, I think, for these large Turkish clubs like Besiktas and Trabzonspor that have more experience in Europe, you know, than these other clubs. So on the face of it, I'd like to think that they should be able to get past them okay, but this is Turkey and Turkish football, so we know that anything can happen. From what I've heard about the Norwegian league, it's just highly unpredictable. Just one of the most chaotic leagues, you know, in terms of, you know, you might have a bad team that turns it on one day and can surprise you, and you might have a good team that can totally flop. And it's, you know, we talk about how unpredictable the Turkish league is sometimes, but overall, you know, we tend to see the same clubs and so forth finish at the top. But apparently the Norwegian league is full of surprises, and hopefully those surprises land in favor of Beşiktaş. You know, we'll have to wait and see, but I'll be kind of interested to see how these teams perform, right? Because, you know, for them, this is kind of a pretty big stage. I mean, right? Like, so if there's a Norwegian podcast talking about Beşiktaş, I mean, I feel like, you know, they're going to say, wow, this is a pretty big team. This is a pretty tough team. No easy task. And I think the good folks in Albania would say the same thing about Trabzonspor having to play Kukisi. So they're interesting matchups. I mean, I've known people from Norway and from Albania. They're good people. They like their football just as much as we do. So looking forward.
Okay. Well, we also have to remember that Beşiktaş's CAS hearing will come before the second leg. So Tromso, if Beşiktaş also gets booted out in theory, like Fenerbahce, like we mentioned earlier, in theory, well, then Tromso could walk over Beşiktaş and go right into the Europa League group stages. So we'll know more about everything coming up in the next couple of weeks, but that's going to do it for the matchups there. Let's talk about the Turkish Super Cup that happened this past Sunday. Galatasaray winning that 1-0. It actually did go into extra time. And Fenerbahce had to play with 10 men since the 63rd minute of the match. Bruno Alves got sent off on a second yellow. He was shown his first yellow a few minutes earlier than that. Didier Drogba with the only goal in extra time in the 99th minute. Now, I did not get to see this match. You know, I mentioned last week it was more of a preseason anti-climax, and I wasn't really too interested in it. I wasn't going to go out of my way in seeing it. But from what I've heard, I mean, it just seemed more like a goalkeeper's duel, and there was a lot of suspensions in this match. And Mert Günok and Fernando Muslera basically had a goalkeeper's duel, and it just took one header from Didier Drogba to break the deadlock. But, you know, I mean, this is just more of the appetizer before the main course, which is the season getting started. So just let's get some quick thoughts on the Super Cup from you.
I thought the Super Cup match was pretty thrilling. I mean, you could call it a goalkeeper's duel. For me, it was more like strikers sort of clipping the outside of the bar and a lot of really good shots from distance. That red card I didn't think was too controversial, or second yellow that became a red card for Bruno Alves. His first yellow, maybe not, but his second was definitely a yellow. So, you know, it seemed to have the drama of the match. I didn't really get a strong impression one way or the other, whether or not the fans were sort of more united than usual or less violent than usual, which is kind of the thing I was really interested in seeing with the game. But maybe that remains to be seen, and we'll have to keep our eye on that more throughout the season. But, you know, if Fenerbahce was looking for any revenge for not winning the league, they didn't get it in the Super Cup this time.
Yeah, and I think that's really all we have to say about that. Although they had breathalyzers outside the stadium before people gave their tickets, you know, to go into the matchup. And that's going to be a feature of games this season, where people are going to be breathalyzed, and whoever's, like, too drunk stumbling around and things like that, they're not going to be allowed into the stadium. There's, like, two other things I wanted to say, but we'll say that during the league schedule part of the podcast this week, where we'll go over the first week of the Super League season. There was also an international friendly that we should talk about in brief. Turkey played Ghana in the Atatürk Olympic Stadium. Only an estimated 106 tickets had been sold to this game. And Turkey went ahead 2-0 with goals from Burak Yılmaz and Umut Bulut, but Asamoah Gyan scoring twice in the second half to level the score, and, well, the boo birds were out, I guess, whatever birds that they could hear on television, I guess, because nobody was there in that cavernous stadium out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know, man. I mean, it was just a friendly, but, I mean, for anybody who watched that match, I don't know if Turkey's looking good to qualify for World Cup 2014, but, you know, you could have called that a long time ago.
Yeah, you know, Ghana's a pretty tough team, so the fact that Turkey didn't lose, I think, is probably a nice sign. Ghana's first goal seemed to be more of a gift from Volkan Demirel. He was just sort of caught off guard, and that one, I'm pretty sure he's probably beating himself up a little bit for, because it looked pretty bad on the replay. But it's nice to see Burak Yılmaz score in fourth minute. That's kind of a good way to start a match, but to kind of give up the game in the span of 5 minutes or whatever wasn't very class from Turkey. Of course, at this point, their hopes are pretty low for Turkey making it real far in terms of qualifying for the World Cup and things like that at this point. But would have been nice to get a win here, honestly. I would say the first half looked awesome. But
yeah,
hopefully, Avcı learned a couple of things from this match, and Turkey hasn't been eliminated yet from World Cup qualifying, which will start up again next month, I believe. So there will be more interesting matches to see involving the national team here pretty soon than just a friendly.
All right, I think that's enough we'll say about that friendly. So we'll end this segment of Turkish Football Weekly this week. Coming up, we'll have some news. I mentioned earlier about Bursaspor's coaching situation. We'll go into more detail on that. We'll actually have a report from the UEFA Women's Champions League. We'll be talking about Konak Belediyesi. We'll see if they qualified for the UEFA Women's Champions League proper. And we'll give you the rundown of the schedule for week one of the brand new Turkish Super League season. So stay tuned. And welcome back to Turkish Football Weekly. Some news going around the Turkish football world. Trabzonspor defender Andrei Shalutska has been loaned off to Sunderland for a period of 1 year. Trabzonspor midfielder Gustavo Kolman has been suspended by UEFA for 4 European matches due to unsportsmanlike conduct against a Dinamo Minsk player during the first leg of the Europa League third qualifying round tie between the two teams. Kasımpaşa have signed Porto midfielder Andre Castro on loan from Porto for 1 year. Rizespor have signed forward Hasan Kamzer to a 1-year contract. He previously played last season for Orduspor. Elazığspor have signed attacking midfielder Yusuf Hagi to a 2-year deal. The 33-year-old Moroccan international played with Qatari side Al Arabi last season. Antalyaspor have signed Celta Vigo midfielder Natso Insa to a 2-year deal. Kayserispor have released defender Eren Güngör from his contract. The 25-year-old has been playing with Kayserispor since 2008 and was their captain for the last 2 seasons. And the major news coming out of Turkey this week is this. After being eliminated by Vojvodina in the third qualifying round of the Europa League, Bursaspor have sacked manager Hikmet Karaman. Replacing him is former Beşiktaş and Fenerbahçe manager Christoph Daum, who signed a 2-year contract with the club. So Bursaspor sacking their coach this close to the opening of the season, I kind of have a little bit of a problem with that. I mean, here's Bursaspor training with Hikmet Karaman for most of the summer, and it seems as though, you know, he's going to go into the season with hopes at least. And, you know, I mean, these sort of like crash outs happen, but it seems as though Bursaspor decided to go for the quick fix, and now they've signed Christoph Daum. Now, I know Daum has had previous success in Turkey. He won a title with Beşiktaş. He won 2 titles with Fenerbahçe. But I'm not sure why Bursaspor would make such a change this soon. I mean, we all have to realize that Vojvodina was the better team. Maybe Karaman didn't have his team well prepared, obviously. But firing a coach, I mean, this close to the start of the season, it just screams of unprofessionalism, and it just seems as though it's more of a seat-of-your-pants decision. But then again, this is Turkey, and we're kind of used to that with the Football League here. But signing Christoph Daum, I mean, it's a good signing, but I want to know what your thoughts are on this.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it seems like they already had the guy in mind. I mean, you know, they picked him up pretty quickly after sacking Hikmet Karaman, so perhaps something to do with Christoph Daum's availability, you know, to potentially coach might have had something to do with it. It is also kind of a snub toward Vojvodina, too, if you think about it. It's basically like, you're such a sucky club, and we lost to you that, you know, maybe Vojvodina is just having a great year. You know, I don't know. but I guess they've sort of ruled out that consideration and gone ahead and pulled the plug on Karaman. I think, yeah, pretty much every time this topic comes up on the podcast of sacking coaches, I tend to side on the side of those who think that it's done a little bit too hastily. And I think in this case, it's definitely a little bit odd, you know, with the league starting literally tomorrow, to change your coach the week before you're playing. That's, you can't really argue against that, but you know, clearly it says that they feel desperate, and you have to look at the situation and say, well, Dom is kind of he's not a wild move. It's not like, I feel like if it had been the other way around, or if they had picked up somebody that had no experience coaching top flight Turkish football before, then you'd say, okay, that was desperate and totally crazy. But I would say Dom was a pretty safe move as far as these kinds of moves go. And wouldn't you agree? I mean, yeah, they're quick to make a change. But the change they did make seems like it's one that'll probably work out for them, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. And how much you want to bet we'll probably be making cocaine jokes about Dom this season?
Yeah, of course, those who don't know, Dom was mixed up in a cocaine scandal back around the late 90s. I think it was 2000, when he was basically an up-and-coming coach from in Germany, and then got indicted for cocaine-fueled orgies with prostitutes. So that kind of ruined his career in Germany, which is part of the reason why I guess he's kept coming back to Turkey. So yeah, I think we will be making some cocaine jokes, but I would say if that is the case, he brought it upon himself.
Well, I mean, I think it was in the early 2000s or something. He was supposed to coach the German national team, and then all of a sudden, he had his little cocaine scandal hit, and well, Bursa better have some good nose candy for him, I guess. But enough jokes this week. We're not going to go into that. We'll probably go into that later this season. They're probably going to be more cocaine jokes with Dom, but it's only in jest.
Yeah, I mean, he's coached your team before more than any other Turkish team, really. So
yeah. That's true. Okay, so let's move on to the UEFA Women's Champions League then. We're talking about Konak Belediyesi and their adventures. Well, we're happy to say that Konak Belediyesi has gone 3-for-3 in their qualifying round group. They become the first Turkish women's side to qualify for the Women's Champions League proper. The results there for the last two matches that we didn't mention last week that were played, obviously, over the week. Konak Belediyesi beats SFK 2000 Sarajevo 2-1. Amela Fatahovic scored for Sarajevo off a penalty in the first minute of stoppage time in the first half. And Kuzmina Dusha scoring two goals in the 78th and 84th minutes for Konak Belediyesi scored to get the win there. They actually qualified for the Women's Champions League proper after that match. So the last match was a bit of a formality. Konak Belediyesi beating Cardiff City 1-0. Simel Duman with the only goal in the 36th minute. And Konak Belediyesi is seeded 32nd out of the 32 teams remaining. They have a coefficient of 0.990. However, congratulations to Konak Belediyesi for this accomplishment. I mean, there was only like one blurb from Fanatik that I saw signifying that. But still, I mean, this is a pretty good accomplishment for the team from Izmir.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the greatest thing that's happened in Turkish women's football history, really, if you think about it. And this team, not only did they qualify, for the round of 32, but they won all three of their matches. I mean, that's awesome, frankly. And, so they're going to have the draw here in about 3 weeks. That's on the 5th of September that we'll find out who they're drawn against. You mentioned they are one of the unseeded teams, being ranked 32 out of 32. They're definitely sort of the biggest surprise club of their group and of the competition, I would say. I don't think anybody who follows this kind of thing expected them to make it, especially given Turkey's history in women's football. So they'll be drawn against one of the 16 seeded teams, some of which have had a lot of success in women's football. Wolfsburg, the champions last year. Hopefully we don't get drawn against them. But I did check out Konak Belediyesi's Facebook page. It seems to be where sort of one of the best places to get pictures and updates from the team, and they've put up a bunch of nice pictures of them celebrating their qualification and some shots from the games. Their Facebook page is called Konak Belediye Spor Bayan Futbol Takımı. You can check them out there, and the pictures are all very happy because they've been very successful, and I hope that this, kind of helps give the sport a bit of a boost, the women's game a bit of a boost in Turkey, in a manner similar to how U.S. national team success, women's national team success, sort of brought about a lot of women's interest in our country. So, maybe not quite to that magnitude, but at least in Turkey, maybe some girls will see this in the news and think, yeah, that would be a lot of fun to go to other countries and play football. So hats off to Konak Belediyesi. This is awesome. I just can't wait for the 3 weeks to be up so we find out who they play next in the competition. There will be two legs at that stage in the competition, home and away. Konak Belediyesi, since they're unseeded, will play the first leg at home.
Right, and it's basically two legs. It's basically knockout competition. That's basically what it is. It's a knockout tournament from here on out. So I guess that's going to do it for that. Finally, this week, the Turkish Super League is set to begin, and I had mentioned, I wanted to mention two things earlier on in the podcast. Well, obviously the foreigner cap, the 6+0+4 rule that we had been debating and talking about the last few weeks on this podcast, whether, it will affect Turkish teams, how will it affect Turkish teams and things like that. But also, believe it or not, the Turkish Super League are going to be using a 6-man refereeing crew, kind of like what you see in the UEFA Champions League, with the two, I wouldn't say linesmen, but like the linesmen on the goal lines, the goal line officials. So they're going to be using a 6-man refereeing team in the Turkish Super League this season. So, a lot more eyeballs, but you know that the conspiracy theories are going to come out saying, well, there might be more eyeballs, but there might be more, referees favoring certain teams and things like that. But, it's a new season. I wanted to get to week one of the Turkish Super League, unless, Jeremy, you have any comments.
No, I think the most interesting thing you've said so far about the league was just the whole breathalyzer thing, trying to make sure people aren't too drunk going into the stadiums. But, now you've got 6 foreigners and you've got 6 referees, a referee for every foreigner, I guess. That'll be interesting. Hopefully it cuts down on some of the controversy.
Yeah, 6 match officials, I guess I could accurately say.
Yeah.
That would probably be the best description of that.
More people for the players to yell at after every goal, I guess.
Or after every call. That's probably the whole deal there. And the Turkish way, if you've ever seen picture where the red dot is not the ball, it's the referee.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. But here's the week one schedule of the Turkish Super League, which will actually get started tomorrow as we are recording this on August 16th. So Friday, August 16th, Antalyaspor faces Kayseri Erciyesspor at home. Saturday, the 17th of August, we'll see Karabükspor host Kasımpaşa, Rizespor hosting Gençlerbirliği, and Konyaspor hosting Fenerbahçe. Sunday the 18th, we'll see Akhisar Belediyespor hosting Elazığspor, Eskişehirspor hosting Bursaspor, and Beşiktaş hosting Trabzonspor. Monday the 19th of August, we'll see Kayserispor hosting Sivasspor, and Galatasaray hosting Gaziantepspor. Now, these will be some late kickoffs because, obviously, it's pretty hot in Turkey during the summer, so we're going to be probably seeing some water breaks there. But, obviously, Beşiktaş Trabzonspor is the match of the week, so to speak, because you've got two of the top teams in Turkey facing head-to-head. That will be in the Atatürk Olympic Stadium to start off. But other than that, what else interests you for the first week?
What catches my eye, especially looking at the first week of a season, is I like to see who the newly promoted teams are playing. And it's interesting because the three teams which won promotion from the Turkish First League last year, the PTT First League, Kayseri Erciyesspor, Rizespor, and Konyaspor, all have their matches in the first 2 days on Friday and Saturday. So just in the first 4 matches, we're going to get to see 3 of the new teams, and we'll get to see if any any of them make a splash? You know, can Erciyesspor overtake Antalyaspor? Can Rizespor get the better of Gençlerbirliği? And can Konyaspor defy the odds and surprise Fenerbahçe in Konya on Saturday? So that's what I'm really going to be looking for in the Friday and Saturday matches. Like everyone else, I think, just are any of these new teams going to catch a lot of attention? And then, of course, Sunday we've got the match of the week going on, and Monday, you know, I'm pretty excited to see Galatasaray play. They've really been sort of the one club in Turkey that's been sort of free of the match fixing stuff, free of the poor performances in Europe issue up to this point, because they obviously haven't started playing in the Champions League yet, since the group stage hasn't happened yet. But, you know, they've had successful friendlies against Porto and Arsenal, and I you know, I'll be really excited to see them play Gaziantepspor. I mean, when they faced Gaziantepspor at home last season, it was a 1-1 draw. So it's certainly not necessarily a team you can just roll over in Antepspor. I mean, there's something to watch every day, it seems like. That's my opinion on it. What's yours?
Well, I think the match of the week outside of that will probably be Eskişehirspor against Bursaspor, you know, just to see how, you know, those two teams are getting along. And Christoph Daum makes his debut as Bursaspor coach. I mean, right off the bat, he's got a pretty tough test against Eskişehirspor. And also, Ertuğrul Salem will be coaching against his former team. So there's another dynamic there in terms of the coaching. So that's what I'm pretty much interested in. And I think you forgot to mention that those friendlies Galatasaray had were in the Emirates Cup. That was the preseason tournament over there.
Yeah, that's technically true. I consider that I consider that to be kind of a friendly, but yeah, I mean, there, I guess there was something maybe slightly more at stake than usual. Of course, I did mention that they lost to Napoli, didn't they? So it wasn't all victories. But Galatasaray were looking incredibly strong at the end of last season. That should be mentioned too. And so will they perform up to their expectations? You know, starting on Monday in with Gaziantepspor in Istanbul. And then the other thing that I was going to mention also is that this year the PTT First League is starting their matches this weekend, in the same weekend as the Super League. For anybody following some of those teams, especially if your team was one of the ones that was relegated at the end of last season, you can catch those games. That the league starts on Saturday in the second tier of Turkish football.
Right. And I think that's going to do it here for this edition of Turkish Football Weekly. It was kind of brief, and, well, at least the season is here and, you know, everything's back to square one. You know, some teams have had European competition already, so maybe they're a little bit competition ready. Others are still in preseason mode, but, you know, these are the times when it's early days. So, I mean, if your team loses, I mean, you shouldn't go into panic mode immediately over it.
Yeah, and for me, I'm still giddy about the women's club from Izmir. I think that's just awesome. You know, it's just such a good vibe that seems to surround the women's game in Turkey especially. So I would encourage folks, if I may plug them one more time, to check out the Facebook page and follow that, because it's kind of fun. Because, you know, we're the only ones, right?
Right.
This side of the pond.
So yeah, exactly. We're fun too. Yeah, exactly. We're the only ones who are covering this. So, Jeremy, thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And we thank you for listening to Turkish Football Weekly this week. Enjoy the season opening weekend, and we will see you all next time.